on the Colorado State Sports Network. From Learfield, this is the Colorado State Insider with the voice of the Rams, Brian Roth.
All right, here we go. March Madness has officially begun, and if you're a Colorado State basketball fan, life is good right now as both the Colorado State basketball teams in Vegas, the Mountain West Conference Tournament. And on the podcast this week, it'll be all CSU hoops talk on both the men's and the women's side. Hi, everybody. Brian Roth, voice of the Rams. Great to have you back with us. And what a season it's been for both Nico Medved's squad and the Colorado State women. Here's what we have coming up on the show. We're going to talk some Colorado State women's basketball. Boy, what a run they're making in the Mountain West Conference Tournament. We're recording this podcast on Wednesday morning, March 9th. And just last night, the women knock off New Mexico in the semifinals of the Mountain West Conference Tournament. So Ryan Williams' squad picking up their 21st win of the season, and they are on to the championship game and just 40 minutes away from perhaps punching their ticket to the NCAA tournament. We'll talk with Matt Wozniak, play-by-play voice of the Colorado State women's basketball team. We're going to wake him up this morning at the hotel in Vegas after a late night of calling hoops. And what a run being put together by Ryan Williams and the Colorado State women's basketball team. Then we're going to preview the Mountain West Conference tournament on the men's side with Adam Nygon. And of course, Adam's my broadcast partner across the Colorado State Sports Network. We'll take a brief look back at the Boise State game on Saturday night. Rams sweep the Broncos. Yeah, the Broncos, Mountain West Conference champions, but Colorado State has some bragging rights there. But both those two teams, their sights set on a tournament title and of course onto the NCAA tournament, each of those teams. Certainly at this point, they are locks to go dancing. I think San Diego State's a lock too. And Wyoming? Well, they have UNLV coming up tomorrow afternoon, the quarterfinal round of the Mountain West Conference tournament. I think they got to win that to at least feel somewhat comfortable. They lose that, and they're going to be on pins and needles on Selection Sunday. But we're going to preview the Mountain West Conference tournament with Adam Nygon, so stay tuned for that. Let's just go right, though, to the women's basketball team. And, boy, what a run so far for Ryan Williams and the Colorado State women's basketball team. 21-10 now on the season, and they'll take on UNLV later on tonight. Again, we're recording this on Wednesday morning. They'll face UNLV, the number one overall seed in the regular season champs. 8 p.m. Mountain Time, the Rams, the number six seed. UNLV, the number one seed. Now, CSU, they did get that number six seed, and that meant that they had to play in the play-in game on Sunday. Remember, the top five seeds get a bye on both the men's and the women's side. So the Rams got the number six seed. So they had to play on Sunday night, and they played San Jose State, the number 11 seed. And well, no problem there for Colorado State. Rams dominated San Jose State in the regular season, and man, did they put it to the Lady Spartans on Sunday night. 82-43, the final score. So the Rams get the three-game sweep of the Spartans. They were spectacular defensively, and boy, that led into the quarterfinal round on Monday night. Rams and the Cowgirls of Wyoming. Wyoming was number three seed. And, well, we know this about these two teams. Played two very close games. Rams got the 10-point win. I think it might have been an 11-point win at home just 3 weeks ago. And then the final game of the regular season last Wednesday, Rams went up to the AA in Laramie and lost in overtime, a game in which the Rams had a 10-point lead in the second half. But you knew it was going to be a defensive battle, and it certainly was. There were seven lead changes in the contest, but in the end, Colorado State was dominant in the fourth quarter Monday night. They beat Wyoming 51-38, and CSU, into that fourth quarter, they were down by three, but they would outscore the Cowgirls 19-3 in the fourth quarter. Wyoming went just 1 of 13 from the floor in the fourth quarter. It was a three-pointer, just a dominant close to that contest. And Colorado State gets the win over Wyoming in the rubber match, and it propelled them onto the semifinals last night. Now, you look at the game last night, Rams taking on number two, New Mexico. And it's a New Mexico team that beat CSU twice in the regular season. And if you've listened to the podcast, or if you certainly have listened to any of the coaches' shows that we have done throughout the course of the year from Lucky Joe's Sidewalk Saloon at Fort Collins, you know that Ryan Williams thinks that the Lobos are hands down the best offensive team in the Mountain West Conference, and they could be the most talented team in the Mountain West Conference. Well, the Rams were trying to avoid defeat for the third straight time to the Lobos, and they do just that. The Rams come back. They get the big victory, 82-71, the final score last night in the semifinals. And the Rams are back to the Mountain West Conference title game for the first time since 2016, when the Rams, of course, won the Mountain West Conference tournament that year. Of course, that 15-16 season will go down as one of the all-time great seasons in Colorado State Ram basketball history. Of course, CSU led by Ellen Nystrom. I think Gustafson were the two main cogs in that. Jamie Patrick was a part of that ball club. That's a Ram team that, again, went 31-2 that year. They went 18-0 in the Mountain West Conference. They would end up losing to South Florida in the NCAA tournament 48-45. So that's the last time the Rams have put themselves in position to play for an NCAA title berth in the Mountain West Conference championship. But you go back to last night. We mentioned that the Rams were swept by the Lady Lobos in the regular season. But, well, the key last night, getting off to a good start. And the Rams were able to do that. CSU built up a 14-9 lead. And how about this? CSU led for over 37 minutes in that contest. I mean, that is impressive. Upe Otosu had 23 for the Rams last night. Carly Murphy had 20 points, 10 rebounds. Of course, McKenna Hofschild, an all-conference selection here this year, chipped in with 19 points in the contest. And maybe the biggest stat line might have been this. Antonia Anderson for New Mexico absolutely torched Colorado State in the two regular season games. She had 30 at Moby Arena back on January 15th in a Lobo win. Then she poured in 33 against the Rams at the Pit in early February. I mean, she's been a Ram killer. Last night in the semifinals at the Thomas Mack Center in Las Vegas, 0 points. She went scoreless in 24 minutes. Sydney Mech was on her most of the contest. Mech did an outstanding job. And I mean, that is absolutely huge. A kid that averaged 31.5 points per game on you in the regular season, and you shut her out in the biggest game of the year to that point. That is tough, tough defense by Colorado State. And it's a Ram basketball team now on to the Mountain West Conference championship game. Now, the Rams and the Lady Rebels of UNLV, they only met up once this year. Of course, with that unbalanced schedule, you always skip a trip to one of the Mountain West Conference schools, and one team skips a trip to your home court. Well, the Rams only played UNLV once, and it just happened to be a week and a half ago, February 26th, when UNLV came into Moby Arena, and UNLV ended up getting the win that afternoon, 80-69, and it was the third quarter that did Colorado State in. Rams had the lead going into halftime of that contest, but then got outscored 25-10 in the third quarter of that game against UNLV on February 26th. Then again, they would lose it 80-69, but I know this is a Colorado State team that certainly feels like they can play with the Lady Rebels, and it's going to be a fun one coming up here tonight. Well, let's get really more of an on-site perspective, right? I mean, the guy that's been behind the mic the entire season for the Colorado State Women's Basketball Program, and of course, the guy that's been in Vegas since Saturday, calling the game Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, he'll have a game here tonight, talking about the voice of the Colorado State Women's Basketball Program, Matt Wozniak. All right, Matt, viva Las Vegas. I know you've been down there since Saturday, and boy, you've seen some great basketball for Colorado State. And, you know, let's just start here. I mean, what has been the key for CSU in the last 3 days? Obviously, San Jose State's not very good. The Rams were terrific. But, man, to do what the women did to Wyoming, especially the fourth quarter, and then what they did last night against New Mexico, it had to have been a lot of fun to call.
Absolutely. One of the things I think you asked, the number one thing, flexibility. Obviously, you come in at a number six seed, you're going to see, as the Mountain West, as we all know in the basketball realm, especially on the women's side, and I think you've seen it in football, there's so many different principles and styles of play. You go back to the first one, San Jose State, obviously an 11 seed. I mean, they're just not good shooters. Wyoming, on the other hand, is just a grind out every possession. And the way that the Rams adapted to the change in philosophies in those two was just stunning to me. And then you go to this New Mexico game last night, they're freewheeling. They want to just live and die by the three. And that was a game where the Rams' length was able to play. So every little strength that the Rams have, whether it is, you know, some lockdown responsive defense from the guards on the outside, whether it is really jumping and using the screens against Wyoming, or whether it's closing out with a long arm on a three-point attempt on the outside, it's the flexibility of their defensive pressure, which has been the key to me.
Yeah, I mean, the defense. I mean, what can you say about the fourth quarter against Wyoming? You know, down by three, low scoring game into the fourth quarter. You go, I mean, you knew it'd be a grinded out defensive game against the Cowgirls anyway, but what can you say about that fourth quarter? 19-3.
It wasn't a fluke. Let's put it that way. I don't want to hear anybody saying that, oh, they were just missing shots. They did not get any open looks. It might've been one of the most complete defensive lockdown performances I've seen in a very long time. There was just nothing easy coming for the Cowgirls. Everything was contested. And the major point of that, you get to that fourth quarter, closing to possessions, no offensive rebounds. Now you get the defensive glass and you can get out and run and set up your offense, which is what CSU does best in transition. And that equates to the 19 points. But that was as dominant a lockdown performance as I've seen. It was not a fluke.
Yeah, and it's always fun to beat the Cowgirls. That was the rubber match between the two teams, of course, just the week prior. Colorado State losing in overtime up at the Double A in Laramie, where Rams had a 10-point second-half lead. All right, well, how much did that fourth quarter kind of transfer over to last night? I mean, you get a New Mexico team that really loves to score it, a New Mexico team that has defeated CSU twice this season. I mean, I imagine coming off that fourth quarter to win against Wyoming – kind of set the confidence up where it needed to be in order to compete with the Lobos.
Yeah, so you've been around enough tournaments, and I know a lot of people have seen it. There is a certain advantage in some ways to playing that first play-in game. I mean, you know you want the rest and you want to do things like that. But that first play-in game, when you get out, you start stretching the legs, you get in the tournament flow, as Ryan Williams likes to say, you know, ride that wave kind of thing. You're feeling good. And then, you know, you get into that Wyoming, and all of a sudden you're playing with house money. I know you can't really say that. Is that an NCAA violation? But we're in Vegas, so we're going to go with it. You've just exceeded your expectations, and you've got nothing to lose. So after you beat Wyoming in an emotional border war, you're like, okay, we can do anything if we put our minds to it. And that is exactly what happened against New Mexico, because, you know, freewheeling, you get out there, you do things. But if you're carefree and you're playing with joy, you know, a made three on the outside that may have been a dagger down in the pit a month ago doesn't hurt as much now, because you're just letting it go and having a great time playing and competing. It's fantastic.
You know, I'm looking at the box score last night, and the first thing that kind of jumps out to me, and I guess I noticed it a little bit watching the game last night, but I didn't really fully understand. Antonia Anderson, who just torched CSU in the two games this year. I mean, come on, 63 points in the two games. Didn't score.
Yep.
Didn't score.
Only took three shots.
Wow. How did they do that? And I know Sidney Mech was a big key for that.
It absolutely was. So if you look at, go back to the first two, and this is a credit to the coaching staff. They realized, obviously, you don't want to repeat those mistakes. But in the past, they would have Kendall Kinzer out there on her. So Kinzer was just kind of a float, bringing a double team on some players and then trying to take the driving lanes from the potent guards that they have. This time they switched it up and they were just like, all right, Sidney, you get this one. Shut her down, because then you trusted all the other guards, like Upe Atosu on the big guard, De La Cerda, who wanted to drive. Upe was energetic, shutting her down. So the guards being able to handle their individual assignments on the other guards and the scorers for New Mexico allowed Sidney Mech to just eliminate all the bigs down low. And then again, that also allows Carly Murphy once again to do what she does too.
Yeah, Carly Murphy double-double in the game. Upe Atosu, 23 points. And obviously McKenna Hopshield kind of continues to do what she does. And I guess one thing I should have mentioned, you know, McKenna, All Mountain West Conference selection, she broke the assist record. Was that Sunday?
That was first game. Yep.
So she breaks the assist record of Ellen Nystrom, who, I don't know, Matt, you remember back. She could play a little bit, right?
Yeah, she still can. Just not. Yeah. If she's listening. Yeah, she's still can. I better just say that. She's still listening. McKenna. But the other thing is the scoring component to that, too. Obviously, yeah. Now she's really dishing the basketball well. And I want to put a spotlight real quick, and I don't know if I'm jumping the gun on this one, on Carly Murphy's performance last night, because it was the third quarter where she was completely dominant. And I'm going to ask you this question again. This is announcers going after each other. I love when you're, especially in tournament play, when the stakes are the highest, I love it when a skilled post player just dominates a better athlete. Do you feel that same way?
Oh yeah. No, that's certainly fun to watch. And, you know, I mean, Carly Murphy's not going to kill anybody with her athleticism. Right. But
right.
At the same time, you know, you're a technician there, and just to chop people up and carve them up is fun to see.
It was one of the most beautiful performances of basketball. And it's one of those things that it just really brought a joy to my mind in that, it was, you know, it was little baby hooks, it was floats, it was drop steps. It was just recognizing the moment and being completely in it. You know, it's in that zone moment for a post player, doesn't happen all that often. But there was a beauty to the way that she performed last night that I don't want to go unnoticed, because beautiful basketball this time of year, oh, it just relieves so much stress. And Carly was a big reason for that.
All right, let's preview the game tonight. Championship game, number one seed, UNLV. Of course, the Rams, the number six seed, 8 p.m. Mountain Time. Matt's going to go on the air across the network starting at 7:30. And look, last year, you look at the women's basketball tournament. Who won? A number seven seed. Wyoming made it broad. I mean, maybe it's best to be a high seed. You mentioned playing that first game on Sunday to kind of get into that tournament flow. What do you make of the matchup? These two teams only played once this year. It was 2 weeks ago at Moby Arena. The third quarter got the Rams in that game. But what do you make of the matchup tonight against UNLV, and what does CSU have to do to win this game?
Yeah, first and foremost, UNLV is the most complete team. I mean, they have components at every position, and it's just really hard to find a weakness. I mean, the simple fact of the matter is, and I think it's just the Rams are going to have to go to the regular tried and true blueprint of making timely threes. You have to have the three ball to beat a number one seed. It just has to happen. So that way you get some momentum, you get some more wind in your sails. So that's going to be the first key. And the second one is, again, they can score from the inside, from the outside. They don't have the weaknesses that other teams in the league have. So you have to be completely disciplined on your approach, and you just can't lose anybody. So it's a mental game. It's a court awareness. Where's your assignment? How are you going to handle that? So I think it's the mental side on the defense. You can't give anything up because they can do a wide array of moves and ways of scoring. And then for offense, you've got to hit the timely three, and it's been working so far.
Yep, indeed. Matt, I'm heading out to Vegas if I can get through the snow here in Colorado. I know the weather's probably pretty nice out there, but looking forward to going out for a celebratory beer tonight after the Rams punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament.
That would be nice. If you get here on time, let me know. I'll let you down for the net cutting ceremony. How about that?
I like it. I'll be there. Thanks, Matt. Have a great call tonight, man.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you.
All right, that's Matt Wozniak again. He's going to have the call of the Mountain West Conference Championship game coming up tonight. Colorado State, the number six seed. UNLV, the number one seed. That'll be an 8 p.m. Mountain tip-off time. Matt will go on air with the Peterson Toyota pregame show beginning at 7:30 p.m. You can hear it on the Varsity Network app. And, of course, you can also hear it in Northern Colorado on our flagship, Power 102.9. All right, let's shift gears and talk some Colorado State men's hoops. Again, we're going to have our analyst, Adam Nygon, the former Ram. He'll join us here on the podcast in just a moment. Adam and I will preview the Mountain West Conference tournament. We'll get to that here in just a second. But again, just a brief overview of what we're looking at here. Rams close out the regular season 24-4 on the season, and they did it with a big win against Boise State on Saturday night. Rams beat the Broncos 71-68, and they sweep Boise State, the regular season champions. Boise State was already locked into the number one seed going into that contest when it came to Mountain West Conference seeding, but Boise State's still playing for certainly an NCAA berth, and really I thought they were a lock going into that game, but playing for NCAA seeding. And make no question about it, Boise State did not want to get swept by a team as they sat as the Mountain West Conference champions, but that's exactly what happened. The Rams sweep Boise State in a highly entertaining and just a high-level college basketball game. 71-68 was the final score on Saturday night. Moby Arena sold out for the fifth straight time. The atmosphere was electric, as it has been all season long at Colorado State. And two really, really good basketball teams going at it. And CSU gets the victory to rack up their 24th win of the season. So with that win, Colorado State locked themselves into the number two overall seed in the Mountain West Conference tournament. Boise, the number one seed. Rams get the number two seed. San Diego State fell into the number three seed. Wyoming, the four seed. And it's UNLV, the number five seed. Those are the five byes that go into the quarterfinals, which start tomorrow night. For the Rams, who are they going to play? Well, they'll play the winner of Utah State and Air Force. That game's going to tip off later on today. I don't see Utah State losing that game. Perhaps they could. Those two teams did split in the regular season. Utah State got beat at Air Force in early January, 49-48. Then Utah State beat Air Force by 27 in the return matchup in Logan, Utah. I don't see Utah State losing that game. We're counting on the Rams and the Aggies to meet up for the second consecutive year at the Mountain West Conference Tournament. They met up in the semifinals last year. This will be a quarterfinal matchup tomorrow night. It'll be a 7 p.m. Mountain tip-off time. Rams, and again, we expect it to be the Aggies. Could be the Falcons. I mean, who knows? You never know until you go out and play the games. But that's what Colorado State is looking at. And then the Rams will get the winner of the San Diego State and, we're guessing, Fresno State game. Fresno State's playing against San Jose State tonight in the 6-11 matchup. I don't see the Bulldogs losing that contest. We expect them to move on to the quarterfinals to take on San Diego State. So if the Rams win tomorrow night, make it onto the semifinals, they would take on the winner of San Diego State and Fresno State, a couple of teams that have played very, very tough here this season. We'll get into kind of the breakdown of this tournament bracket with Adam Nygaard in a moment, but a lot of awards handed out over the last few days. And first, I want to get to this. CSU must be noted back in the top 25, by the way, and I know it doesn't have any bearing on what's going to happen to the Mountain West Conference tournament or seeding in the NCAA tournament, but it is cool. See Colorado State get some national recognition once again. 23 in the latest AP poll. They're 24th in the latest coaches poll. So great to see the Rams back in the top 25. Also, all Mountain West Conference teams have been announced. And, well, no surprise here. And, of course, here in Fort Collins, we might be a little biased, but I don't think too much because clearly the media and the coaches agree with us. David Roddy was a player of the year in both the media and the coaches poll. First player of the year for Colorado State since Gene Clavel did it back in 2017. Gian with the Magnificent Seven at Clavel was spectacular that season, in particular in the Mountain West Conference. And Mike Mitchell, another Conference Player of the Year selection back in 1990. Of course, the Rams were a member of the Western Athletic Conference, and the Rams went dancing that season in 1990. So David Roddy joining Gene Clavel and Mike Mitchell as Conference Player of the Year winners. The media, first team all-conference was David Roddy. Orlando Robinson, the seven-footer from Fresno State. You had Bryce Hamilton, leading scorer in the conference, of course, from UNLV, torched the Rams for 42 at Moby Arena this year. And then the media had Graham Ike and Hunter Maldonado, of course, the dynamic duo from Wyoming as their top five. Meanwhile, the coaches differed just a little bit. Of course, Roddy's still the player of the year. Orlando Robinson and Bryce Hamilton also on that team. But then Maldonado made it, but then it was Matt Bradley from San Diego State making the first team with EK shifting down to the second team. I think that's the right call. I mean, you look at San Diego State and how good they are defensively, and we'll talk to Adam Nygaard about this in a second, but, I mean, they struggle offensively, but the one dude on their team that doesn't struggle offensively is Matt Bradley, and he had some monster games this year, and San Diego State's not even close in the title hunt if it's not for Matt Bradley. By the way, Isaiah Stevens, second team in each of the media and the coaches' poll. David Roddy, though, what a season he had. 19.5 points per game, 7.5 rebounds, shot 58% from the floor. That was best in the Mountain West Conference. And then how about the three-point numbers this year for David Roddy? I mean, it really was an unbelievable story for Roddy on just how much work he put into the offseason and how he improved his three-point shooting. I mean, he shot 43 of 93 from downtown here this season. That is 46%. And you look at David Roddy in his first two seasons at Colorado State. His first year shot 20%. He was 15 of 77. Last year shot 29%, 20 of 72. And then he rockets up to 46% here this season. It's been a big part of why he was a Conference Player of the Year. He was a Rams best shooter here this season. And the great thing about Roddy, he's not a high-volume three-point shooter. He'll take it if it's there, but he likes to do most of his damage in the paint. And you see the ceiling on Roddy with adding the three-point shot to his game rise in the eyes of the scouts in the NBA. You got to be able to shoot, especially at his size in the NBA. And boy, Roddy goes 43 of 93 from deep, 46%. It was a special, special season for David Roddy. In fact, Sports Illustrated just yesterday named David Roddy to their third team All-American group. And man, it's going to be fun to watch him come up this week and into the NCAA tournament. All right, well, let's break it all down. Let's bring in Adam Nygaard into the mix here, and we'll talk with Adam and give you an idea of what to expect this week down in Las Vegas. All right, Adam. Well, thanks for jumping on here before we both head down to Vegas coming up on Wednesday to watch the Mountain West Conference Tournament. And it's a Colorado State team going in as the number two overall seed. And, well, let's just first hit the rewind button and look back to the Boise State game on Saturday night. And I guess to start here, I mean, just another electric atmosphere at Moby Arena, fifth straight sellout. And, man, was that a fun game to watch.
That was unbelievably electric. I mean, I remember a couple of calls where there was some time for me to hop in on a call, but I just kind of let that home court advantage just kind of bleed onto the air. And it was, it was so fun to see, you know, everything. I think what they say, they had 1500 fans at freshman year, 3 years ago for some of those guys. And then here they are getting crowd surfed off. I mean, how fun was that finish too? And honestly, a tale of two different halves offensively for the Rams. They kind of, you know, blasted off there at the beginning with 7 threes attempted in the first 11 minutes. But, you know, we said over those last, 30 minutes or so, they only attempted 7 threes and they may have only made one of them and still end up beating, the best team in the Mountain West. So again, this team continues to find ways without that shooting that we somehow couldn't seem to get back after we had that big COVID pause.
Yeah. But again, CSU, I think they close out the regular season seventh in the Mountain West Conference in 3-point shooting at like 32%. And, we had talked about in the broadcast on Saturday night, the fact that the Rams shot 44% from three in the 10 non-conference games, but man, finally starting to see Kendall Moore get going. He was terrific again, 19 points on senior night. He was crowd surfing at the end of the game. I mean, it was a really cool scene for Kendall, but it's good to see him kind of turned around because he has not been shooting the basketball well this year. But of course we saw a week and a half ago at Utah State, he goes for 23 points, knocked down 5 threes, and then just carried that over into Saturday night against Boise State when he knocks down 3 more 3-point attempts. I mean, Adam, he's going to be huge in the conference tournament, in the NCAA tournament, if he can continue to become and stay an outside shooting threat.
Well, he's found something, obviously, in shooting from behind the arc. I mean, that Utah State game was so fun to see him really kind of just break out of any sort of slump. 25% from three up until that 5 of 7 performance on the road at Utah State, which is arguably as hard as Viejas when they're as packed in as they are there. And he absolutely willed us to victory that game. And then, to come out here and hit some threes early enough to just light up that, crowd some more and get it going. And then, senior year and everything going on to just pack it and have him do that. It is so fun to see Kendall break out. And it's honestly made him a better defensive player these last 3 or 4 games too. I know I kind of say that, but you hate to see a guy let his shot dictate other things, but certainly was affected by that 25% shooting when he's a 38% career shooter. So it just one of those things that he finally makes a couple threes and now all of a sudden he's really locked in defensively and you see him break out into the transition and really show you that speed and burst. And, that's such a huge thing for shooters is getting those easy buckets. And then it just feels great coming off those fingertips.
Yeah, and he's been great in transition, no question about that. It always amazes me how good of a finisher he is in some of those breakout fast break situations when, I mean, he is going 150 million miles an hour down the court, usually a big man on his tail, and man, he just always seems to finish those layups. I mean, he's going to be a major, major key for Colorado State coming up in the next couple of weeks. Look, Boise State, they win the Mountain West Conference regular season championship with the victory last Tuesday against Nevada. It's disappointing that the Rams weren't able to have a shot at it on Saturday night, but it's still fun to see Colorado State knock out Boise twice, sweep Boise State, despite the fact that Boise was the conference champion, and kind of take a little something away from that conference championship. Boise State wins the conference. They get the hardware. Congratulations to them. I wish the Rams had won it. It was just fun to see CSU kind of put a little thorn into the side of Boise State.
And they brought it too. It wasn't like they were playing like a team that had celebrated too much, the couple days prior and, might've been hung over or not really engaged like you would have seen it. But how about that? They played everybody down the stretch as hard as they could. And we went toe to toe with the best and we've swept them. And I can't help but think, but those guys really kind of, bites them a little bit in the butt because that, that is that notch where it's like, we won it outright. We deserved it. And they did, but certainly to not beat the, you know, number two team in the league once at all that year, you know, in the regular season, it's just tough to really crown yourselves and feel, you know, confident meeting us for a third time, maybe in the Mountain West Championship. So, you know, I'm proud of what we brought, and I got respect for them for playing all their guys and really going in there. Cause they're, you know, big win on the road there, that might give them an even higher NCAA seed. So they were playing for some things, and, you know, it wasn't like they just rolled over for us. So it was so fun to see that. And what a game too, my God.
Yeah, it was a high level basketball game. Boise had a ton to play for. Rams have a ton to play for, each team with their sights set on the NCAA tournament coming up next week. But CSU gets the win, and it gives Colorado State the number two seed in the Mountain West Conference. Of course, the bracket was set right after that game went final. Every single seed was set. Rams get the number two seed, San Diego State the three seed, Wyoming the four seed, and UNLV the five seed. We're going to talk about the Mountain West Conference and what we expect to happen later this week down at the Thomas Mack Center in Las Vegas. But before we do that, we're recording this podcast about 10:45 on Tuesday morning. Just the way with our schedules working out, we're flying out tomorrow. Had to record the podcast here on Tuesday. The media naming their all Mountain West Conference team. The coaches, I think that's coming out a little bit later on today, but it's not out at the time that we're recording this podcast. But the media has named David Roddy as the conference player of the year. That's the right call. I don't think there's any question about that. They also had Orlando Robinson from Fresno State, Bryce Hamilton from UNLV, leading scorer in the conference. Then two Wyoming players in there, Graham Ike and Hunter Maldonado. Now, we have talked about this the last month and a half of the season, how hard it would be to pick just five players on the team. And it's virtually impossible. No matter how you have your Mountain West Conference top five players, you're going to be leaving somebody out that you really don't want to leave out. But when you look at what the media came out with, your thoughts on that, and would have you swapped anybody out for Robinson, Hamilton, EK, Maldonado? What's your top five? Who's your Mountain West Conference team?
You know, I agreed with all of it. I honestly, as big of a, you know, Wyoming fan as I was earlier in the year, I guess you could say, I thought they kind of fizzled out there towards the end. I mean, what did they finish fourth, you know, in the actual thing? They were 1-2 all year long, but to, you know, go three of your last four games and, you know, you really kind of struggle. And I just think Bradley worked himself in, and, you know, it's hard to pick between Maldonado and Ike, but Ike certainly didn't have the numbers there down the stretch that might've, you know, in my opinion, pushed him into the top five. So I probably swap EK for Bradley, and I just go small with it, like the Rams basically do with Roddy playing the five anyway. So, yep, I'd agree with most of it. I just thought Wyoming may have, you know, fizzled out there towards the end, and one of those guys, Bradley, for sure went crazy the last four or five games. So I thought he was certainly a top five player in the league.
Yeah, I agree. I would have had Matt Bradley in there as well in that top five. But, you know, again, it's hard taking off EK. I mean, EK averaged 20 points a game, I think second in the league. He was a leading rebounder in the league. You look at Maldonado and put up so many big numbers. He was the top assist guy, was a good rebounder, obviously one of the top scorers in the Mountain West Conference. So it's hard to swap players out. It just speaks to just how good the Mountain West Conference was this year. But I'm with you. I probably would have had Bradley in there, would have taken EK or Maldonado. I mean, coin flip, which one you want to take out. You know, Matt Bradley been really good. And the reason why I would have Bradley on that number one team is because San Diego State obviously made a late push in the Mountain West Conference. They're going to be an NCAA tournament team in my mind, and they're an elite defensive team. They're one of the best defensive teams in the entire nation, but we know that they struggle offensively. And the one guy on their team who does not struggle offensively is Matt Bradley. And without Matt Bradley, let's say he doesn't transfer from Cal, without Matt Bradley, this is probably a fourth, fifth place team in San Diego State, and they're not going to the NCAA tournament. Now, I guess you could say the same thing for maybe an EK or a Maldonado, but I just think Matt Bradley was so crucial to San Diego State making this late season run and most likely getting into the NCAA tournament. And, you know, I mean, you go into this Mountain West tournament this week, Adam, my opinion, you have three. I think San Diego State's a lock. Now, obviously, I'm not going to sit here and say they're going to be extremely confident on selection Sunday if they lose to the say Fresno State on Thursday. But I think they're a lock. And then I don't think there's any question that Colorado State and Boise State are locks no matter what happens on Thursday.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I'm with you. It's you know, it's such a down league for some of those other leagues that are down year for some of those other leagues that it just works out perfectly for sure. Three, you know, Wyoming, again, talking about their struggles down the stretch, and in particular EK hasn't scored 20 points in four of the last five games. So, you know, that's a big reason why they've lost so many games down the stretch, is he's kind of had some tough goes. And, you know, now all of a sudden you just don't have that buzz about you that you had maybe beginning of February. And, you know, I thought they were locked beginning of February. So, you know, if they can hang on and you know, they're going to get a chance here at UNLV and then, you know, probably Boise, you know, as things go right. So if they can win two, they'll get in for sure. But if they lose against UNLV, they just kind of lose all the buzz they had and everything going for them, to where it might be a tight, you know, selection Sunday, and they might be sweating it out a little bit.
Yeah, if Wyoming loses to UNLV on Thursday, I mean, that is not going to be a comfortable selection Sunday. I mean, they're kind of going to be right in that spot that Colorado State was last year. I mean, right now, Wyoming's sitting at number 48 in the net. Rams were at number 51 in the net last season and, of course, got left out. Now, Wyoming has some better quad one, quad two numbers this year than Colorado State did last year. But, yeah, if you're Wyoming, man, you best be winning that contest against UNLV. And I think if they do that, I think Wyoming is most likely in, no matter what happens against Boise State. And obviously, assuming Boise State would be the team getting into the semifinals at that number one seed. But some work to do, I think, for Wyoming if they want to feel somewhat comfortable going into Selection Sunday. All right, so let's look ahead to this week. Of course, the tournament starts tomorrow on Wednesday down from the Thomas Mack Center in Las Vegas. Rams get the number two overall seed. They'll await the winner of the 7-10 matchup. The 7 seed is Utah State. The 10 seed is Air Force. They will play on Wednesday night. The winner will take on CSU in the third of four games on Thursday. It'll be a 7 p.m. tip-off between the Rams and TBA. Does Air Force have a chance? I mean, is there a chance Air Force can beat Utah State, or is that not going to happen?
They beat them once already. I mean, they make 1-3. Utah State makes 1-3, and Air Force just absolutely, you know, hangs on at home. I think they can, but I think Utah State's, you know, scared straight enough about something like that. So, you know, I would plan on, you know, Utah State's probably 80-20% chance of winning that game in my mind. So, you know, that's no easy game for the Rams though either. I mean, you look at Utah State and some things they can do, and, you know, in particular, if they get hot shooting the basketball and really if they can move the ball around you with, you know, with some ease and get those assists up like they like to do, they're as good as anybody. And, you know, it could be one of those games, but, you know, that way that the Rams finished that Utah State game, and it just seems like they found something against them, particularly inside and down low, that, you know, I like our chances there. And, you know, you want to talk about that San Diego State-Fresno State matchup. I mean, Fresno State just lost by a point to San Diego State a couple days ago. So it's not going to be an easy game for San Diego State. So I kind of like that matchup, and don't expect Fresno State to come out of there with a victory, because they could, you know, certainly win that game. And so it's just going to be a fun couple of, you know, days in particular for me and you, who get a kind of up close and personal view of it all.
Yeah, it's going to be so interesting when you get into those quarterfinal games. That I was mentioning to you, I was doing a podcast with some Fresno State podcasters last night, and there was other media members. Jeff Grammer was on there from New Mexico and the Albuquerque Journal, and then a radio host from Boise, who said, you know, Nevada or New Mexico, you know, Boise State's really struggled in the conference tournament. Leon Rice, he had mentioned, had never made a Mountain West Conference championship game. And you know, he made it sound like, hey, you know, Boise State's going to be worried no matter who they play in that 1-8 or 1-9 game. I mean, you get Nevada coming into that thing. I mean, who knows? Sherfield and Cambridge. I mean, we saw Cambridge go absolutely berserk and not miss a single shot, essentially, against us in Reno when he went for 36. So, but it's, I think everybody's in the same boat going into the quarterfinals. You know, the Boise State fans probably is a smidge nervous based on the track history. And of course, Nevada beat Boise in the quarterfinals last year. I think Colorado State, you know, getting a Utah State, they played two very close games this year. You know, CSU is going to have to come out and play well if they're going to win that game. Fresno State, as you mentioned, plays San Diego State really tough. two games here this season, including one last week. That's not going to be a cakewalk for San Diego State. And then, of course, the UNLV-Wyoming game. I mean, that's going to be a coin flip. So the quarterfinals will be very, very interesting. Let me add to your point real quick.
Just to, you know, who hasn't struggled to make that conference championship in the last 9 of the 11 years? San Diego State has been in that championship game 9 of 11. So just to add to that, too, and all the craziness, don't forget about them because not a lot of people are talking about them. So it's not an easy quarterfinal game for the Rams.
Semifinals, right. Yeah, I mean, so, you know, you look at what the possible matchups in the semifinals could be, Colorado State and San Diego State. Obviously, the Rams lost by 30 in San Diego back in early January. Obviously, the Rams were coming off a long COVID break, and that thing just snowballed out of control in the final 8 minutes of that game. You look at their length and athleticism and their defensive ability. And the other thing about San Diego State is that really they don't have to double David Roddy. I mean, Nathan Mensah, I think, is the best defensive player in the league, certainly the best defensive big man in the league. And when you don't have to double David Roddy and allow all your other players on the court to go lock down whoever they're guarding, I mean, that's a big advantage for San Diego State. And it's really, let's be honest, one of the big reasons they've been elite defensively here this season.
That's it. They just ride that defense all year long. They don't care what the offense does. They know they're going to knock some shots here and there, but they know they're only giving up what, 50 to 60 points a night. I mean, when you got that going, you can, you know, force up, you know, 60 points here and there, you know, gosh, it's just so scary because their numbers are actually, they've been top 50 in top defense every year for the last 12 years, but they've never finished top 50 in offense. So it's like they just ride it out and come March, that's what they can depend on and good for them. And it's made our league better because of it. And I'm definitely looking forward to getting another shot at those guys because that's going to be a fun one.
All right, a couple of final thoughts before I let you go. What will it take for Colorado State to win the Mountain West Conference tournament later on this week? Give me one, two, three things that CSU's going to have to do if they want to be hoisting the trophy on Saturday afternoon in Vegas.
They're going to have to knock down some of those open shots, in particular late when David's going to get doubled and guys are going to kind of blitz him, so to speak. So if some of those guys like Moore can continue to shoot it the way he can, Jacobs kind of seems like he's coming alive. And man, Tanjay the other night, I like what I saw from him, not just settling for threes, but attacking the rim, you know, with those strong dribbles and step throughs. So, you know, him and DT specifically can give us some big minutes. And James Morris has come on a lot every single week of this season. It seems like he gets a lot better and you know, with a few more minutes, he might, you know, be one of those X factor type guys. And you know, Stevens maybe has some big games, but certainly our role guys are going to have to step up, you know, even more, you know, in this postseason and help Roddy out because all eyes are on him right now and deservingly so as he's crowned, you know, player of the year.
Yeah, no, I agree. You got to make some open shots. And of course, that's probably a storyline for just about everybody. But I think in particular CSU, I mean, if they can continue to get that outside shot going, like we saw in the non-conference, Rams are going to be tough to beat coming up here this week. I also think they're going to have to rebound, especially when you play San Diego State. San Diego State's been a monster in the glass. You play Boise State. Rams did a great job keeping the Broncos really off the offensive glass for the most part. I know late in the game, Kijab was able to get in there for a couple of offensive rebounds. Right. But you're going to have to hold your own in the rebounding edge against a San Diego State, against a Boise State. All right, final thought. NCAA tournament, man. Is this Ram basketball team? You look at it, I mean, you win a couple games in Vegas. What do you think, Adam? A six seed? Can you get as high as to a five? I mean, I think the Rams, if they make it to the semifinals, I think they'll be a seven seed in the tournament. That's just a guess from what I've read. I'm not a bracketologist. I just know what I read online. But, you know, I think anywhere, I mean, a 6-7 seed at this point, maybe an 8 seed for Colorado State next week.
Yeah, I think as low as they go is an 8. I think 2 wins, maybe they might get a 5. I mean, just as if they play that championship game and it's against Boise and it's one of those crazy games where nobody really loses, it's just who ends up with the ball at the last possession type games. I mean, you know, I can see him getting a 5 or 6 at that point, but the good news is, hey, we're locked. I mean, everybody has us in. We don't got to sweat anything this week. It's just go out and have fun in this tournament and just, that's all it is. I mean, it's just go out and kind of prove who we are in the league and get a shot at some of those guys that maybe didn't have as tough a go as we did coming through the regular season.
Yep. That without question. All right, man. Well, look, it's going to be a fun few weeks here, Mountain West tournament into the NCAA tournament. I absolutely cannot wait. Safe travels down to Vegas, and we'll see you there Thursday night.
Absolutely. Go Rams women, too. They had a big win, and I'm looking forward to them. Hopefully, we get out there and see those guys celebrating.
Absolutely. Thanks, Adam.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, there he goes. That's Adam Nygon. Again, Adam and I recorded that podcast yesterday on Tuesday. So the women had just beaten Wyoming, and they had not obviously played last night yet. But the women's team, obviously, on to the Mountain West Conference championship game. Again, that game coming up tonight, 8 o'clock is the tip-off. Matt Wozniak's going to be on the call, 7:30 on the pregame across the Colorado State Sports Network. Rams looking for their first NCAA tournament trip since 2016. Meanwhile, for the Colorado State men's team, they will take on the winner of Utah State and Air Force tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Mountain Time, Thomas Mack Center in Las Vegas. Adam and I will go on the air with the Peterson Toyota pregame show beginning at 6:30 tomorrow night in the quarterfinals of the Mountain West Conference tournament. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Big thanks to Matt Wozniak waking up early here this morning from his hotel room in Vegas. At least one more game, hopefully more, to call across the airwaves. And, of course, thanks to Adam Nygon, our radio analyst. For everybody, Ryan Roth saying so long. We'll see you down in Las Vegas. Thanks for tuning in to the Colorado State Insider Podcast.
This has been the Colorado State Insider with Brian Roth. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Colorado State Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.